The scripture passage that we just read a few minutes ago about the parable of the talents is one that I'm sure is familiar to a lot of you, and oftentimes it has to do with, it's the basis of a stewardship sermon or something like that, where I get up and say, you need to give more money. But there's really so much more to it than that, and so I didn't want to use that this year during our stewardship drive. I wanted to call your attention to the real heart of that story, which is not about money at all, nor is it about any other kinds of talents. In case you don't know, a talent back then was a large sum of money, equal to about a year and a half worth of wages or so. But we also think of our talents as our gifts, our skills, the things that we can do and the time that we have and whatever else that we might have that we can give over to God. But this is not about investing in that sort of way. It's about how we invest and with what kind of spirit we invest. I know that you've all made investments. Anytime you have money, you make an investment. Even if you stick it in your pocket, you're investing in your pocket. Dave Ramsey has said that the thing about money is that it never stays still. It never is just stationary. It's always moving in one direction or another. Even if you bury it into the ground, it's not staying worth what it was when you put it in there. Its value is going down if inflation is going up, right? So money never stays still. And as you invest in things, you can invest with a return on your investment, or you can invest as charity, and that has its own return on investment in non-tangible ways, that kind of thing. But the question is, how do we do that, and what is really at the heart of our investments? I've made some pretty decent investments in my life, but I've also made some pretty bad ones. I don't want to brag about my good ones because there's just not enough of them to talk about, but I'll tell you about the worst investment I ever made. When I was living in Fort Worth, Texas, I bought a used compact station wagon. Worst investment I ever made. I won't tell you what model it is because I don't want to badmouth any particular manufacturer, but this station wagon, used, had an aftermarket air conditioner in it. Meaning it wasn't made in the factory with an air conditioner, it was put on later by somebody else. And that air conditioner required more power than the car had to give. So, I would turn on the car, and then I would turn on the air conditioner, and then the car would die. So in order to make the air conditioner work, I had to get the thing up to about 30 miles an hour so it didn't even know how to die, and then I could turn it on. Now bear in mind, this was Fort Worth. It had to be about 250 degrees out there, okay? So I would have to drive down the road before I turned on the air conditioner, and then if I ever came to a stop sign or a stoplight, I had to turn the air conditioner off before I came to a stop, otherwise the car would just die and I may not even get it started again. So here's the new, and of course it was also a manual transmission, so I was using every appendage I had to try to keep the thing operating. I was so glad when I finally could sell that to some other investor so they could enjoy the same return on the investment that I had. But you know, I've made some great investments too. The best investments I've ever made have been investments in people. You can put money in the bank, you can buy stocks or CDs or put it into the IRA or whatever, but there's nothing like investing in people. And the best investment I ever made was when I invested in my wife. When I told Sue, I want to invest my life to be a partner with... Where did she go? She was sitting right there. Anyway, to be a partner with me, that's been an investment that has made dividends over and over again. And then, of course, investing in my children has been a wonderful thing too, because I've invested more in them than just about anything, but I've also gotten more back. And that ought to tell us something about the nature of our investments. Now, in the story of the parable of the talents, there was a rich man who had servants, or you might call them slaves, and he entrusted them with his wealth to invest in it while he was gone to get a return on his investment. We don't know how they invested in it. I wish I did know, because they got a 100% return on their investment. I'll take those odds any day. But when they came, when he came back, they gave an accounting to him, and they said, look, you gave me 5 talents, I've given you 5 talents more, or 2, and I've given you 2 talents more. And what did the master say? He said, well done, good and trustworthy slave. I've given you some, and you've given me a return, and now I'll entrust you with even more. Enter into the joy of your master. What makes them good? Is it because they're good investors? Or is it because they're faithful? I submit to you that it's because they're faithful, and they knew what their master intended them to do, and they were faithful in that task. If they had lost the money because of good meaning but bad investments, I think the master would have understood that and said, well, you did the best you could. But they made a return on their investment. Now, what made them trustworthy? The fact is, they weren't the only trusting ones there. It was the master that was trusting in them, and they were returning that trust with trust of their own, knowing that the master would treat them well when he came back. But there was one slave who was not good and not trustworthy. He was what the story calls wicked and lazy. He was lazy because he just buried the money in the ground, but he was wicked because the master had entrusted him with the money, and he returned that trust with mistrust of his own. He said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. I knew that you reaped where you did not sow, and you gathered where you didn't sow seeds. And the master said, oh, really? You knew that, did you? Well, if you know me to be such a harsh man, why didn't you just go ahead and put it in the bank, and at least I'd get some interest there? But you didn't even do that. Now, my question to you is, do you really think that master was so harsh? Was he harsh to the other two? Did he not entrust them with great wealth? Did he not reward them when he came back? Didn't he not actually give back what he had entrusted with them? They made their return on investment, and he turned it back over to them and said, you've done a good job, I'm going to give you more. And then, as if that was not generous enough, he said, enter into my joy. Be joyous with me. Let's celebrate together. What a wonderful gift that is. So was he a harsh master? I think he was a good master, but the wicked and lazy slave just didn't see that. Now, of course, this parable has more to do with talents than just money. And of course, it's not really about a master-slave relationship anyway. It's about God and us. And how are we to live our lives each and every day, not knowing what tomorrow will bring? Not knowing when the master will come back. That's the story. And if there's anything we can learn from that story, it is that God has entrusted us with the wealth that He offers the world. And it is up to us to return that trust with trust of our own. You see, we often look at this from the perspective of the slaves who did the investment. You know, how did they invest? Were they diligent? Did they use their skills properly? I want you to turn that story around and think of it from the master's point of view. The master was investing in his slaves. The master was saying, I know what you're made of, and I have faith in you. I know what you can do. And he gave to each according to their abilities, the Bible says. He entrusted his wealth to them and made the investment. I know we go around feeling like we owe things to God, and we do. We owe Him our very lives. But I want you to think for just a few moments about what God has invested for you. How has God invested in you? He's invested in you by giving you talents, of course, but He has plenty of that to spare. What did God give you that he hasn't got anything more of. He invested his son. God said, I have a human race out there, and I know their weaknesses, I know their strengths, I know their depravity, I know their nobility. And I'm all in. I'm not going to diversify my investments. I'm going to give my one and only son that they may be redeemed. And I count that a good investment. Are you a good investment? Are any of us really a good investment? I think perhaps we are, to the extent that we accept His invitation to participate in the building of His kingdom. To the extent that we don't, I'm not so sure we are. But you never know how God has a way of making even bad things come out to be good. So I have hope that God can even redeem me sometimes and make good things come out of what happens in my life and in the way I continually mess up. It's a wonderful thing. But it takes that kind of trust. If you really see things that and realize that God trusts you, then you have to respond with trust of your own and say, God, I know that you really have plans for me, and I'm going to put my life into your hands. And I don't know if this is going to be fun or miserable, but I know it's going to be for your kingdom, and that's what I want. I want to return on that investment. I want to build that kingdom, because that's where things really get good. But it takes that kind of trust. Now, Advent is coming up in just a couple of weeks. That's a whole season where we look forward with hope and peace and joy, and we celebrate love. It's a time when we're more generous than usual, giving gifts like these shoe boxes that we just dedicated to the Lord, and like the toys and coats that we're going to be collecting in the weeks to come. And that's just the start. We haven't even had Black Friday yet. I know what y'all are up to. I'm up to it too. But are we ready to enter into that season of Advent with trust in God, that the gifts that He's about to give us really are as good as we sing them to be? I want to tell you a story about when I was a young boy. I had an uncle named Uncle Burtis. He lived in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we always loved to go visit Uncle Burtis because he was such a great storyteller. He had served on a battleship in World War II in the Navy, and so he always had some stories to tell us about in the war and all of his exploits through the South Pacific. I have no idea which stories were true or if any of them were true, but it was sure fun to listen to him. One day we were visiting him up in Knoxville, and as we were driving down a country road, we noticed that there was an airplane out in the field, and this guy was selling airplane rides for $15. So we decided to stop, and all of us wanted to ride in the airplane. They could take three at a time. So we had one group of three go up in there. I was the first group, and you know, we flew around Knoxville for a while and came back down. It was a lot of fun. The next group, we had two kids that were ready to go, but there was Uncle Burtis, and he said, no, I'll just have fun watching you guys fly. Well, it turned out that in all of his worldly exploits, Uncle Burtis had never flown in a plane before. And so we just started to cajole him and tease him and shame him until finally he decided, yeah, okay, I'll go up in the plane with you guys. And so he got on the plane. He was nervous. You could tell he was white knuckling it the whole time. But when he came back down, I'll never forget the look on his face. He was grinning from ear to ear. And I said, how did you enjoy it, Uncle Burtis? And he said, well, it was better than I expected, to be honest with you, but I'll tell you one thing, I never put my full weight down. You know, I think going through Advent without giving your whole heart to God is kind of like flying in an airplane without putting your full weight down. Foolish, isn't it? When we have a God who is so good and so worthy of our trust, and so ready to give us blessings unimaginable, with a gift ready to open up that will transform the whole world and each of us individually, and we don't trust that kind of a God? What kind of an investment is He making in us when He brings that little child down? My prayer for each and every one of you is that as we go into the Advent season, we will open up our hearts to receive all of the gifts that God has in store for us, that we are ready to take that and invest ourselves right back. Because He has called us together into one family of God, and we can do great things with the gifts that He gives us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why don't we stop for just a minute and have a prayer together. Gracious Almighty God, we thank You so much for the story that we see unfolding right before our eyes. We look at Your history, our history, and how You played Your part in it. You created us, You've redeemed us, You've given us purpose. Forgive us when we fritter that away like putting money in a hole in the ground. But renew us now and give us trusting hearts so that as You invest in us, we may bring great returns. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.